You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
This is Michael Gano with the Middle East Research Center Limited, and this is Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. I want to thank Dave Smith and David Moxley for the opportunity to bring to the American people, the Patriot Conservatives at the grassroots level, the reality that takes place here in the Jewish State of Israel. And thank you for everyone that listens on a regular basis. Your comments on Facebook and are certainly appreciated. You can go to America's Web Radio on Facebook or go to David Moxley and show your support by liking the Facebook page. We are here today. I'm here with Jonathan Feldstein from Magen David Adom, American Friends of Magen David Adom, which is Israel's blood and emergency service. We're in Alice Restaurant near Ben Judah, and I want to thank the owner of Alice Restaurant for allowing us to do this recording here. And next time you're in Israel, come to Alice Restaurant. It's an Italian bistro, and it's near Ben Judah Street. And come in and have yourself a nice bowl of pasta soup. So, anyway, I want to introduce Jonathan Feldstein, who is the head of American Friends from Magen David Adom. Jonathan, thank you for being here.
Pleasure. Good to see you, Michael.
Jonathan, I want to start off by saying that, you know, I've been asked here recently, Michael, are you making any money? Are groups like Magen David Adom and these other people, are they paying you anything? And I've been asked that a few times, and I just want to share this briefly with the listeners. You know, I came to this country, and I love the Jewish State of Israel, and the truth that Jonathan is about to share with you, and the truth that I've shared with you in the past. When truth is given to an individual, it comes at the price and cost of someone else. And that is something that you should never ask payment for. And so I want to say that since I've been here, my life has been blessed regardless of, monetary funds. That the fact that I could bring to the American people what takes place here in Israel. And I think we could do that, but it's a matter of being in that place in your life where you have the ability to. And I thank God for that, for being in that place. So, Jonathan, I want to say thank you for being here with us. If you don't mind, I'd like to give folks a little bit of a background on yourself. Could you just take a few minutes and share with us where you came from, why you moved to Israel, so on and so forth. Go ahead.
Great. So sure. So so as you hear from my accent, I'm American born. Had been born in New York, grew up in New Jersey, spent several years in Atlanta where I had the opportunity to study at Emory University, and then work for the Israeli Foreign Ministry in Atlanta for a couple of years in the 1980s. And basically my background professionally has always been in Jewish communal nonprofit public relations and fundraising. And since about the age of 15, I've been wanting to live here because I was raised in a home that had Israel and Judaism every part of our lives. My father was actually born in Israel before the state in 1937. Came to the U.S. as a young man when his mother was reuniting with her relatives who survived the Holocaust. And my father left Israel. He actually gave me a name he never could even pronounce because there's no TH in Hebrew, and he always called me Jonathan, which was cute. So even just hearing his voice always reminded me of my connection to this land, and as well as the Bible. So I always wanted to be here. It just took me most of the first 40 years to actually get here. I'm married 21 years in June. We have 6 children. My youngest, who was born here in Israel, we imported 5, and then had the privilege of having a native-born Israeli who was the first Israeli person born in my family since my father in the 1930s. And that's just unbelievable, because if you think about all the things that the Jewish people suffered and prayed for and over thousands of years to try and get here. Today, I take for granted a little bit too much the privilege of being here. And I've had the opportunity to represent the American Friends of Magen David Adom here in Israel for 6 years. I'm in my seventh year right now. And basically have the opportunity to share with Americans who are visiting how important Israel's first aid emergency service, Israel's first responder service and blood service is to the well-being of the state. And it's a real privilege, and we've had the opportunity to grow a new program, which I'll tell you about, called Heart to Heart, and just loving life. Thanking God for having the privilege of being here.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I want to say, I want to commend you as an American Jew because, I hope, and I would never speak for anyone here, not even yourself. You're very capable of doing that on your own, but I want to emphasize that unless this is, I'm a little hard on this. I'm very hard on this. And I have no regrets in my verbiage, even though I try to temper myself a bit. But unless you are elderly or infirm, there's not one reason why American Jews, and I prefer the right wing, and that's not political, that's ideology. There's not one reason why the American Jews are not here in Israel living, standing with, fighting for, prospering, enlarging this country every day. I've heard many times that, you know, it's so difficult here. In fact, as a matter of fact, I was formed a great 20-minute friendship with a young lady who was from New Jersey, as a matter of fact, on the bus, on the way to Tel Aviv. She had this big bag, and she had this smile on her face, and I said, you're going on a trip. And she said, I'm going home. And I said, oh, are you Jewish? And she said, yes. And I said, you are home. And she was kind of set back by that comment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, please, you're a young girl, so I do not hold you responsible, but you need to tell the American Jews that they should be here in Israel, fighting with their brother and sister, standing with them in times of prosperity, and in times of trouble.
That's right.
And that's something that my heart is very driven to get that message out, and along with Israel's sovereignty and security as a Jewish state. Anyway, aside from that, I'm glad that I can say my piece once in a while. But Jonathan, thank you for being here. Thank you for uprooting your family, for loving this country enough. And your family enough. It shows that you're a leader, that you respect the Jewish state, and that you want your children to have a clear understanding this is the land that Abraham was given by Hashem for the people. And that's exciting to me.
That's right.
So I respect that. So tell us a little bit about, tell us about Magen David Adom. You kind of mentioned this. What you do, and I want you to emphasize the fact that you're coming to the United States.
Sure.
And so tell us about Magen David Adom.
Right. So Magen David Adom, first of all, for listeners who don't know, the three Hebrew words, it means the red shield of David or the red star of David. Magen means shield, and David is David, and Adom means red. And we get the name from the shield of King David, which if you look back archaeologically, you see, we know that it was on his shield is the shape of a six-pointed star. So we call it the Star of David or the Shield of David. And Magen David Adom is Israel's member of the Red Cross in the world. And Israel's First Aid Society, which is unusual. Most Red Cross societies are not ambulance and EMT and first responder services, but that is the case by law here. One of the other main important pieces that Magen David Adom fills is the blood service. And in a country like Israel that's always at risk, the rockets were fired again this week into Israel, across Israel from Gaza into Jordan. It's just a little bit ridiculous, but there's always a need, and the blood service is under the auspices of Magen David Adom, and we just came from donating blood. Our every 3-month ritual, and that's a privilege also to be healthy enough to donate blood and be able to give one unit that can save 3 lives when they break it down into its components. So I do that with joy to be able to donate blood here, and I do it as regularly as I can.
Actually, we've done it
twice
every
together.
3 months.
Correct.
Pretty much ever since I've been
correct.
Here.
Correct. That's right. Right. Last time was January, middle of January. Now it's the middle of April, and June, May, June, July. Right. Middle of July, we'll hook up again and do it again and bring other people. So actually, in that regard, one of the things that I get to do, and it's a real privilege here, is I get to host Americans. And anyone who's listening here can contact me for a tour to come and visit in Jerusalem, have coffee here at Alistair's restaurant, and learn about what we do. But since 2006, I mean, there have been, oh dear, probably close to 15,000 Americans who have come through and visited Magen David Adom, and an additional 5,000 who have come and donated blood. Which is probably the only place in the world. I will leave the variable that maybe other people do it in other places in the world, that people actually go on vacation or for a religious pilgrimage and actually make it a point to go roll up their sleeve. And we coined a phrase, it's called the best gift to bring home is the one you leave behind.
Wow.
So we've been doing that since 2006, very successfully, very inspirationally. Jews and Christians coming to Israel and donating blood, and it's very successful. But every time we would promote people coming here to donate blood, we would also get requests from people living in America saying, hey, I want to stand with Israel. I want to donate blood. I'm in Dallas or Denver or Detroit. It doesn't matter. And even from West Virginia. And people will say, hey, I want to donate blood and I want to send it over. So the short answer is you can't. So we came up with an amazing program. I call it a virtual blood donation, which is an opportunity for Americans to sponsor a unit of blood financially or the components of the unit of blood and help the Israel National Blood Services, which is under the auspices of Magen David Adom, to have the extra resources to make sure that we always have a safe blood supply, that there's always a plentiful blood supply. If new modern high-tech equipment is needed and those pieces of equipment run hundreds of thousands of dollars a piece, that we can always be there to provide those resources to make sure that Israel's blood is at the finest quality, safety-wise, from a medical perspective, and safety-wise from a physical perspective, because we face challenges here in Israel that others in the world don't face. So you mentioned about my traveling. I have been I'm leaving again this week. I'm going again at the end of May and in July. And I've been really privileged to have this opportunity to promote Heart to Heart. We built it as a grassroots program, so anyone who wants to join us can do so and sponsor a unit of blood and share that opportunity with friends and family. And we also work with ministries across the country who have adopted Heart to Heart as their program to bless Israel and are promoting it on their own. And we're always looking for more churches and other nonprofit organizations and ministries, that's a TV, radio, whatever it may be, to take that opportunity and promote this program, which is not only blessing Israel, but blessing Israel with something so tangible by saving lives.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you, What are the varying giving levels?
Ah, okay, great. So the way it works is that someone can sponsor a whole unit of blood for $100, a unit of platelets for $60, a unit of red cells for $40, a unit of platelet. Wait, did I say platelets already? Sorry, plasma. Sorry. Red cells, plasma, and platelets at $60, $40, and $25. So,
wow.
So even my contention is, and it's been borne out when I'm traveling, is that, you know, even an average working person, somebody who punches a clock 40 hours, or a waitress in a restaurant, can put together $100 to sponsor a unit of blood, and that's very meaningful. But for someone who might be a teenager who babysits, or like I did, I babysat and I cut lawns and I shoveled snow because I'm from New Jersey, whatever you do to make some extra money, $25 is not out of the reach of most people,
right.
And it's such a tangible gift. And when people make that donation, we send them a beautiful lapel pin with our logo. It's two hearts intertwined with the American flag and the Israeli flag,
nice.
And a certificate that says that he or she donated blood and helped save lives in Israel.
Nice, nice. You know, and that's very true, Jonathan, because if we think about, and I do this, I work for a nonprofit, and thank God for the people that are a part of Middle East Research Center and the work that we do here. And living here, And it's not that I didn't do it before, but living here in Israel, because things are so much more expensive, I take thought about how I spend every dime. And I think there are a lot of people that throughout the United States that are now faced with that, with giving thought to how am I going to spend my money. And so many times, and I reflect back on the times I lived in D.C., and I see what goes on now, and I think, you know, we go out to a happy hour, and we'll drop $50 on something that our body is going to get rid of in the next 24 hours to 12 hours.
Right, that's right.
And so, you know, what do we have to show for what we've done with our money? And I'll tell you, the best way to for me, and I'm not going to try and speak for you. You do it so much more eloquently. But listen, next time you folks in D.C. are in your happy hour in Atlanta, you know, think about what you're drinking and say, you know, a $5 or $6 beer. If I got enough of my friends together, I could pull $100 together in no time, or 25, or you know, 50, and you know, give it to American Friends of McGean DeVita Dome. And you know, the reality is, what Israelis face on a daily basis when it comes to the threat, and again, this is my show, so I can say it, the threat of Islam to this country, her neighbors from without, and her friends and citizens from within. So, you know, you never know in this country the rockets that have been, that are still coming, that you will never hear from the media, and many times in the West, you know, the lives that are affected. Now, along those lines, let me point out, Jonathan, explain to us who gets this blood.
Right, that's an excellent question. So the people who get the blood are anyone who's in the state of Israel. Certainly myself as a citizen includes you, Michael. God forbid something will happen. You're not a citizen, but you're here, and you benefit from all of the medical services of Magen David Adom, whether you need an ambulance or emergency medicine in any of the hospitals. And if you're in such a situation and you need blood, that's the case. There are lots of stories we put up on our website of, we call them gift of life stories.
What's your website?
Website, AFMDA, Apple Frank Mary David Apple.org. /heart-to-heart, one word.
And we'll get that again at the end.
Yeah, and yeah, and you can also email me at heart-to-heart@afmda.org.
Nice.
So what I wanted to share was that anyone gets the blood, and that includes Jews and Muslims and Christians.
Right.
Wow. It includes people who are Israeli citizens and people who are visitors. It includes diplomats. It includes students who are here for a year. It includes really anybody who may need it. And it also, by the way, includes our non-Israeli Palestinian neighbors, who the world says that they're living under an apartheid state, but they have their own medical system, and if they need services that this system can't provide, on a regular basis, Palestinians are brought into Israeli hospitals and receive this blood, because
wow,
we're all about saving lives. That's the bottom line.
And you know, this is a truth that is not told on a regular. I didn't even know that.
Right.
Even I would have never in a million years. And I lived here before I even met you, had the chance of meeting you. I went actually and gave blood at McGean DeVita Dome and to the blood mobile we were just at down the road. And, you know, I'd read about what you guys do and had seen some news stories, but just a few, because I was still learning about the country internally. And I think it's fascinating. It is amazing what I see the Jewish people do to bend over backwards, not just for the sake of their looking out for their image, but out of sincerity and the fact that life does mean so much to the Jewish people. I mean, that even extends. I jest here with all the cats walking around.
Look, Judaism is a religion about life.
Right.
Sanctifying and celebrating life.
Wow.
And there are 613 commandments that God gave us, things that were prescribed to do and things were prescribed not to do. And all but three of them get superseded by saving life. And that's the bottom line.
Wow.
So, you know, it goes without saying that people here, we don't look to take a life. We don't look to cause any harm to anybody. We're looking to live here and prosper, God willing, one day in peace. We'll defend ourselves as we need to.
Absolutely.
And sadly, often we're the victim of many things that require extra defense. But that doesn't stop our humanity.
Right. Right.
And unfortunately, not like our neighbors who celebrate and seek to cause death.
When the Boston bombing took place, there were actually in the Gaza Strip, there were people handing out sweet treats, celebrating this.
And when the Boston bombing took place, I happened to be hosting some people at the Magen David Adom National Blood Center, and I pointed out a picture from September 12, 2001, with hundreds of Israelis lined up. Hundreds of Israelis were lined up to donate blood.
Wow.
The day after the terror attack of September 11th, standing in solidarity with the American people in the hope that maybe the blood that would be donated here in Jerusalem would be able to save lives in New York or Washington.
Yeah.
And sadly, that wasn't needed, but that speaks miles as to who we are and
Absolutely.
How we stand together with the Americans.
Absolutely. You know, I tell you, I encourage everyone that can and will come and see this country for yourself. It's not that big. I think you can reach north and south, from one end to the other, in a matter of
about 8 hours.
8 hours, and then east to west, it's
an hour,
and
at its longest.
You know, there were a lot of people that told me what to expect before coming here, and I came with it's easy to say I'm going to go in with an open mind no matter what situation you're in. I think the human tendency is to kind of not have that ability fully. And I will say in all honesty that I came, I believe 90% of me was no expectation. And since I've been here, my life's been blessed, and you know, the least that I can do is to give back, is to give that blood. I will tell you, you don't know this, but I have my cards to prove it, but the first time we gave blood together, it's every 3 months.
Correct.
That we give blood. Well, I kind of fibbed because it was actually not exactly 3 months. It was more like two. But I wanted to give.
Yes.
And experience that with you as a new friend.
Right.
And someone who works for a great nonprofit like Magen David Adom. So I left my card at home.
Well, I have to tell you, Michael, it's been a privilege and a blessing. You in my life and in the life of the people of Israel, and sadly is most of the 8 million people who are citizens here, don't know you and don't know what you're doing and don't know about your radio program and all the tens or hundreds of thousands of people who are listening to this right now. But I have to say, on behalf of all Israelis, even though most don't know, it gives us great comfort. It gives us great strength to have people like you here who have uprooted yourself and basically left everything behind to stand with us. And there are people who care to spend half an hour listening on the radio just to get a little glimpse as to what's the truth coming out of Israel. And that means a lot. Even though I can't see the faces of any single person who's listening now, that means a whole lot. And how much more so when that translates into a direct action, standing with us and blessing Israel, not because you want to, but because God tells you to.
Right.
I mean, we're all people of the same God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been a great experience, and so I'm thankful every day to be here. Listen, Jonathan, when we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you to give us some examples of two things. Number one, some examples of where Magen David Adom has been, not just here in Israel, but around the world. I understand that you guys have been quite expansive. And number two, what is the response that you, because how many times a year do you go to the States?
Four
or five times a year. What kind of response do you get from the people in the States, from the people who've never heard of Magen David Adom? Because I was not even aware of this organization until I came here. And you know, we want to know those things because someone out there is going to see this. Someone in the healthcare field, a doctor or something, is going to hear this and they're going to say, man, I either want to go to Israel and help, be a doctor, or start making a donation. So anyway, we're going to come right back, and we certainly appreciate it. This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel from America's Web Radio. I want to say again, thank you, Dave Moxley and Dave Smith, for giving us this airtime to share with the grassroots of the United States of America what Israelis face when it comes to their prosperity, sovereignty, and security. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. That's what Dr. Michael Youssef does each week on Leading the Way. And now you can listen right here on Radio Sandy Springs. Join Dr. Youssef for profound teaching and insight into the worldwide ministry of Leading the Way. You'll also hear accounts of how the gospel message is reaching some of the darkest areas of the world. So join us for Leading the Way.
And we're back. This is Michael Gonneau with the Middle East Research Center, coming to you with Insight to Israel from America's Web Radio. I want to thank again David Smith and Dave Moxley for allowing us to have this time to share with the grassroots of the United States of America, patriot conservatives, about the truth that takes place here in Israel, about the blessing of the people in this country that they are to the world, that they've been to me, and what they're faced with on a daily basis in order to maintain their sovereignty and security as a Jewish state, and the liberties that they bring to every resident, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, in this great state. We're here with Jonathan Feldstein from American Friends of Magen David Adom. Certainly hope that you've enjoyed some of the insight that he's been able to give as far as the nonprofit organization and everything that they do for the state of Israel and for the world. And, you know, we're going to take this a little deeper, and we're going to share. Jonathan's going to share with some experiences that he's had in the United States when it comes to presenting Magen David Adom and how the American people, listen, we understand that our country is in great distress and turmoil right now, and there's a mindset that is settling in various aspects of our lives. But I believe and I know that the greatness of the United States is in the heart of the people, of many people. That spirit of charitable giving, which stems from the values and the principles that we find based in Scripture. And, you know, I've said it often, and I believe it always bears repeating, because for me it's always fresh. Every time I say it, it's always invigorating. But if it had not been for Hashem, for God, giving the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible to the Jewish people, then the people of the United States, the citizenry, would not have a constitution or Bill of Rights, in spite of how the and again, this is ideology, it's not about politics, in spite of how the left wing is trying to rewrite history. And we owe not only to God, but to the Jewish people, and this is our bonding together, is the principles of Torah. And I'm very thankful for that, because that's where that giving spirit comes from. And I'm so thankful that what you're going to hear from Jonathan, that comes from the heart and the grassroots of the American people. I'm so thankful that this message that Jonathan has of his positive feedback that he can bring home to the Jewish people and encourage them, that in spite of no matter what governments do, no matter what the media does or says, that the Jewish people can know that we stand with them shoulder to shoulder in their fight for sovereignty and security. And I'm very thankful for that. Jonathan, Share with us some of the experiences you've had in the United States.
Yeah, so what's interesting is the experience of the United States are heartwarming. The truth of the matter is I don't like to leave Israel. I don't like to leave my family behind, but I'm so exhilarated when I'm traveling and among Christians who love Israel, and it gives me a great feeling. The reality is the trips are becoming kind of like a snowball effect, that everyone that I'm taking is opening doors and opportunities and invitations to many more. So this trip that I'm taking this week was not planned, but I was introduced to a pastor, for example, of a pretty significant 25,000 member church, and he heard about me and Heart to Heart. Someone connected us. He wanted to know more about it and meet with me. He was unable to meet with me when I was in the States last time, so we set aside a day next week that he's hosting me personally, and that's a great privilege. Out of the same last trip, I was invited to speak at a Women's Aglow event in Charleston, and there was a pastor in attendance who was so, as he said, I nailed it. He was so moved by my presence in a Christian event that he invited me back to speak in his church on Sunday morning.
Wow.
And that's honor. It's a privilege. It's something that is unprecedented historically, and we're writing new pages of Jewish Christian fellowship together for the future. I'm not privileged at liberty to say who yet, but there's some other very, very big media people, some big performers in Christian entertainment who with whom I'll be meeting and who already know what we're doing and have invited me to come and see them, and they want to jump on board with Heart to Heart. One of the greatest, most grassroots stories. About a year ago, I was connected to a pretty small Native American church in rural North Carolina, 2 hours from any city, and went there, thought it would be...
Was that Cherokee, near Cherokee, North Carolina?
No, it's Lumberton, North Carolina.
Okay.
And went there, met the pastor, met one of the founders of the church. They welcomed me, embraced me, wanted to know what I was doing. Within a month or two, they had joined us in Heart to Heart. And the pastor actually asked 100 people in his church to donate $1 a week in order to bless Israel. And that talking about snowballing, that snowballed. So when I was there in November, they presented a check for $1,500. That's 15 units of blood. And if I can quickly do my math, 15 units of blood is 45 lives that were saved just as a result of that one monthly offering, which is really incredible. But then I'm sitting over lunch with leaders in the church, and somebody who's the sales manager, and this is not meant to be a shout out for Toyota particularly, but I have to give them credit. The sales manager at the local Toyota dealership brought Heart to Heart to the dealership, so almost to the point that his Toyota dealership has become a ministry to bless Israel. And he shared with me over lunch how in the month that they started promoting Heart to Heart at the Toyota dealership, was the greatest month of sales in the history of their dealership.
I believe it.
And what was really fascinating is just about 2 weeks ago, someone shared with me the blog of an Israeli professor who's teaching at UNC Pembroke. And he wrote about how he spent his Passover Seder with Christian Zionists in his community, sharing with them what we do as a traditional Seder meal for Passover. And I connected with him because he was also writing from this area in which I've developed these wonderful, very warm and close friendships. And I emailed him, got his email address, and explained to him what I was doing. And he wrote me back and said, "Now I get it." Because he had gone, I mean, it's beyond coincidence. This is all God. He had gone to the Toyota dealership a few months earlier to buy a new car.
Wow.
And they were promoting to him that they help bless Israel by supporting Israel's National Blood Bank. He had no idea what these guys were talking about. But then he and I connected,
right?
And now he gets it. And he's so happy that he's driving around North Carolina in a Toyota coming from a dealership where the people have a heart for Israel and support Heart to Heart.
Wow, that is, you know, that's a fantastic story. And I believe that anyone that hears this radio broadcast, should you find yourself partnering, linking up with those who stand, whether from within or without Israel, but stand with the Jewish state and the Jewish people. I believe that your life is going to be turned inside out.
That's right.
And mine has. Mine has in the 6 months that I've been here. It's been... It was always one thing for me to say that I loved Israel from afar,
right.
But my heart would not would not let me be content to say that from within the safe zone of the United States, you know? And just since we've been friends, and you know people that I've already met, and, you know, just this circle, and I'll tell you, I believe that when folks hear this broadcast, I think that... you're going to see some increase, Jonathan. I believe that. So great stuff. You know, there's a lot of probably about 1,000 questions I could ask, but one of them would be let's come back to Israel for a second.
Yeah.
What happens when someone gives blood here in Israel?
It's a very simple process. Honestly, for an American, the most complicated part of the process is you're filling out a questionnaire that's in Hebrew. But we have a right? And that's
and I get that wrong.
And you get the yeses and noes incorrect, but they still know what you mean. I mean, we have a translation. We have a way of facilitating people to get through the questionnaire easily. You did it this morning. I still don't. I'm not fluent in Hebrew yet because most of my life is still lived in English, but I get the gist of it. Donating blood is donating blood.
Right.
It's a safe, clean, it's actually supposed to be very healthy to be able to do so. 90% of the blood it's collected in the state of Israel comes from blood mobiles like what we did this morning that go out to the public, whether it's into an office building or a university or a synagogue or a community center or a public shopping area, even army bases. I was at an event last week celebrating the leading military units that together donated somewhere in the order of 75,000 units of blood in 2012. Because obviously you got a young, healthy crowd of people among the Israeli military. So 90% of the blood is collected from blood mobiles that go out, and then it's brought back to the National Blood Center where it's tested and processed and stored and then dispatched according to the needs, whatever they may be.
Yeah. You know, Jonathan, while you were talking, what would you say, because we know, there's a reason why I'm emphasizing this, in the Israeli Defense Force, the young men serve 3 years, the women serve two, or you have the third option, which you can do national service. But when I think about how small this country is and how big the enemies that desire to take this country out are that surround Israel, if you had a huge emergency, because the blood, the lifespan of a...
It's 35 days for a unit of blood.
35
right.
days. So if you, for whatever reason, and look, this country is not exempt from an overnight attack, just like in a matter of...
Or an earthquake.
You know, the amount of blood that would be needed in this country if something, God forbid, tragic would take place, whether it was war or an earthquake or what have you. You know, this is a small country.
Right.
It's very small. And you have to be very careful about who you take blood from.
Right. So we're surrounded by neighbors who not only would we not want to take their blood from because their level of cleanliness and hygiene, and I don't mean this on a personal basis, of course, I'm talking about just the standards in the countries medically are not at the same standard of Israel. Israel's literally at the top of the world, at the European standard in terms of blood collection, which is considered even higher than the American standard. And we wouldn't want to take their blood, but not only would we not want to, there's two interesting components here. First of all, they're the ones typically who are trying to bleed us. So they wouldn't be so inclined to want to share, even if we would want the blood.
Right.
But secondly, and we've heard this in stories, and we have actually seen this in recent months, starting to trickle from across the Syrian border, that there are Syrian fighters in the revolution or civil war that's going on there that have been brought over the Israeli border and treated in Israeli hospitals. So we're talking about Palestinians. You know, Palestinians are our immediate neighbors,
right.
And we do live with them and interact with them in many ways on a daily basis. Syrians are distant neighbors, albeit who share a border with us, very hostile neighbors.
Right.
And it's pretty impressive and pretty incredible, something I'm proud of as an Israeli, that we've taken in Syrians who have been hurt in their own war, I don't know which side, it really doesn't matter, brought to Israeli hospitals and presumably receiving blood. Now, if there were to be a major natural disaster like an earthquake that doesn't know any borders, we're scared that the fact that that even though they may hate us on paper and they may want to kill us, that they may flood our borders looking for our advanced medicine to save their lives. Yeah. So yeah, we don't have an external source. We can't be, if we're being heard in Atlanta today. I lived in Atlanta for several years. If there were a blood shortage in Georgia, the immediate states, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, and Florida, can provide backup blood, and you can go another couple of states further, and blood comes. If you're in Europe, you can receive blood from countries all over the European Union.
Right.
In Israel, we don't have that. That's why Heart to Heart is in existence, because we always have to be sure that Israel has a safe and plentiful blood supply. You never want to waste that precious resource, but we don't have the ability not to have enough.
Yeah. You know, that's something... I'm going to reemphasize this. You don't have neighbors that are willing to help you in times of crisis.
And if we did, we wouldn't want it in terms of their blood.
Right, absolutely, because of the standard of living.
The level of medical sophistication is not at our standard.
Right, and I think there's something to be said for that. That when it comes down to... personal accountability, if I could use that term, even on the state level, on the governmental level, Israel has done a tremendous job in 65 years. You've had to look out for yourself.
Only ourselves.
Only yourselves. And yeah, you've gotten help from other countries, but at the end, let me emphasize, those countries have been blessed. And there's a reason for that. You know, let's go outside of the borders of Israel again.
Yes.
And let's talk about what Magen David Adom has done for other countries.
Okay, excellent. So as Israel's representative into the International Red Cross, which is only a several-year arrangement, for the first 60 or so years of our existence...
You weren't recognized.
We weren't recognized. We weren't admitted. And that had to do with anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism and basically the Arab and Soviet bloc that would prevent us from being accepted to the Red Cross. But even without that, again, going back to our earlier part of our conversation in terms of the sanctity of life, when there's a human disaster anywhere in the world, almost anywhere in the world, we're among the first to line up and if not actually physically go to offer help. We're there offering, whether it's needed or not. So I know that, for example, when the nuclear reactor blew up and the tsunami in Japan, the Japanese didn't really want or need much help, but we were right there ready to go.
Wow.
If that was necessary.
Haiti. You were there in Haiti for a long
not
time.
Not were. Still are.
Still are.
Oh. I don't remember. How many years are we talking about? Three?
Yeah.
4 years?
It's been about 4 years.
Since
2007, I think it was.
Whatever year it is,
right.
Israel, with representation of Magen David Adom, was there first. I remember news outlets like CNN and BBC, who are not terribly friendly toward Israel, calling Israel's medical response the Cadillac of medical care in Haiti at the time. And the fact that now, a number of years later, we're still there present dealing with rehabilitation is unbelievable. Talking about blood, by the way, there was an Israeli paramedic right after the earthquake who delivered a baby from a mother with a mother who was the victim, and the mother required blood afterward. The paramedic, because again, it's not just a matter of sanctifying life, but it's also being very well trained, the paramedic knew that the mother was bleeding out, and therefore, because the paramedic had type O blood, which is a universal blood type that anyone can receive, transfused blood from herself to the mother to save the life of the mother after the mother's baby had been born. So yeah, we're all over. There had been flooding in Europe. Magen David Adom was there. The tsunami in Southeast Asia that killed 300,000 people. Magen David Adom was there for an extended period dealing with rescue and recovery, and that's who we are.
And let me emphasize while we're here that Magen David Adom is a nonprofit.
Correct.
And you know, when we talk about these situations of emergency that take place that you've been responsible of giving aid to, this is not coming from the Israeli government.
No, the Israeli government does not even fund the Magen David Adom. We're government mandated, regulated, but not government funded.
Absolutely. And listen, this is the crux. This is the crux because many times when you see a natural disaster take place, the first thing you hear of is the U.S. government right there on the spot. And we know that, and look, everyone that's listening knows that I love the United States of America. I'm a patriot. I'm a conservative. But we also know at the same time that big government does not handle things correctly because there's the red tape and all of the... We know where we're going, where I'm going with this. And what I'm emphasizing is the fact that this little strip of land, you have this nonprofit in comparison with many of the nonprofits in the United States that, God bless them, do a great job. The Red Cross, the Salvation Army, many of these folks do a great job, and they do 10 times of a better job than the United States, than the government does. But here we live, we have a strip of land that's very small. The government does not fund it. It regulates it. But you guys are out there pushing your own and on the front lines and receiving these reviews from news outlets that, again, are not so favorable to
you.
And I think that speaks multitudes of the character and integrity of the organization and even filtered down to the individuals.
Well, the people of Israel. That really speaks
Absolutely.
To the people of Israel. Magen David Adom is a largely volunteer-based organization with roughly a ratio of 10 to 1 volunteers as compared to professional paid staff. And I know the people listening to this understand it. They have a heart for Israel, and they get it. And these are things that are not publicly known. It's not that they're hidden, but you're doing a great job by giving us the platform to get this kind of information out to people so that those who have a natural inclination, religiously, patriotically, to stand with Israel, well, wow, we're grateful for that, and that's so inspiring and meaningful, but it's so important that you're giving people the meat on the bones,
right?
You know, not only just we do it because we're supposed to do it, but why? Why?
Right. Wow, that's... You know, sometimes, for me, this is a refresher course because we did a promotional video back some months ago, and I hope that you guys were pleased with that.
It's great.
That's when I was first learning how to do all of my own editing and graphics and music, and hopefully soon I'm going to have an intern that can help me out with that and advance it more.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg is a volunteer.
But this is refreshing to me because sometimes, you know, I get so busy and you just kind of forget things that go in the back of your mind and, you know, not intentionally, you know. But this is reinvigorating for me. When I look at the work that you do and leaving your family and going to the States for a cause greater than yourself.
That's correct.
And again, I want to say you're an Israeli citizen, and I'm glad that you're proud of that. I want to watch what I say because I'd love to be one. You know, I would love that blessed privilege of having that dual citizenship, Baruch Hashem, maybe one day. But anyway, I believe it's those principles of Torah that come when we desire to listen. I don't believe you even have to be a Christian or you don't have to be practice Judaism. As long as you understand those principles, they'll strike home with you and you'll want to follow through with them. Now, not to say they're not going to have an influence on maybe you going in that direction, but at the end of the day, how they'll bless your life.
So it's interesting you say that, Michael, because we're speaking now and this is being broadcast in a very auspicious season. And I always think back, my father was born here, he lived here as a young child still at the founding of the state. And on May 14th, we're celebrating the 65th anniversary of the State of Israel. And it's a tremendous celebration. It's a celebration nationally. It's a celebration to God. You know, it really should be a religious holiday that Jews and Christians celebrate together because we realize that this is God fulfilling prophecy. This
Absolutely.
Is God. This is God standing up clearer than any other way I can think of. of in my day, in my life, and saying, hey, I'm here. It's like that remember that kids movie, Horton Hears a Who?
Yeah.
I'm here. Except this is God, and he's standing up and saying, here, you're back, Israel. We there was supposed to be an exile, but you're back. And
right.
This is prophetic.
Right.
And I'm humbled to be here in that time. But sadly, our neighbors and detractors of Israel are going to mark May 14th as what they call the Nakba, the catastrophe of Israel's birth.
Could you say that again?
Nakba. Nakba is the Arabic word that means catastrophe. And really, sadly, I say that for two reasons. First of all, they don't have the decency, I think, to recognize all the great that Israel has done.
Absolutely.
Not just for the Middle East, but in the entire world. And I say that sadly also, because had our Arab neighbors simply agreed to live in peace and coexist with us in 1947 and 48, they would be much more prosperous, and we'd be sharing this land.
Absolutely.
And we'd be living together, and we wouldn't have as many casualties along the way. I can't speak to what will be. I can just say that it's great hubris. At the very least, that people will be talking about the Nakba, the catastrophe, as compared to the prophecy. So actually, if anyone's listening here now and wants to join us, we're in the process, and I hope it will be far more than 65, of lining up 65 churches that within a week of May 14th, either on the Sunday before or the Sunday after, are going to go out there and actively, proactively take an offering in church on Sunday to bless Israel, to stand with Israel, to change the dialogue,
right.
To say, oh no, Israel is not a catastrophe, Israel is prophecy. And I actually was privileged to, we didn't talk about this before, I've been given the privilege to write a blog that goes on the Charisma Magazine website.
Okay.
They're standing
You've
with Israel
that, yeah.
Right, so in fact, if anyone wants to connect with me, I there's an email, there's a couple of emails, one of the ones that's easiest to say for a radio audience is called firstpersonisrael@gmail.com. I also have a U.S. phone number that I'd invite anyone to write down, and feel free to call me. It rings here to my home office. It's an American number, 201-203-0983, and I welcome calls from people who want to know more. I welcome calls from people who want to stand with us and who want more information about maybe joining us.
Yes. Not good, good. Could you tell us again, because we're about to wrap up. Great stuff, John. That's just fantastic. When's the 65th anniversary?
May 14th.
May 14th, and you're trying to line up 65 churches?
At least 65 churches to stand with us, to take an offering on the Sunday before, the Sunday after. I don't care, whatever works in terms of the calendar.
Yeah.
Just take an offering, and they can use our video material, and there's enough biblical resources about any pastor standing up in front of his church and saying, we're standing with Israel. God tells us in Genesis 12:3 that we will be blessed for blessing Israel.
Absolutely.
And choosing the date of May 14th as the anniversary around which we're going to gather this support nationally or internationally, I should say, and begin to change the dialogue that Israel, that nobody in the world should ever really give any legitimacy to the notion that Israel is a catastrophe.
Exactly. What's your website address?
Website, afmda.org/heart-to-heart. And if that's too complicated and you missed any letters, again, the email is hearttoheart@afmda.org, or you can just call me at 201-203-0983 or email firstpersonisrael@gmail.com.
Yeah. Or if you have any, listen, if folks aren't able to get it, a lot of you folks out there on my Facebook page,
sure.
Please feel free to send me an email. I will forward you information about how you can come into contact with Jonathan. And
you can friend me. We're mutual friends.
Absolutely.
So friend me by all means.
Absolutely. Well, look, this is Michael Gonneau with Middle East Research Center Limited. I want to say thank you to Jonathan for being here.
Thank you, Michael.
Jonathan.
It's a privilege.
You're very welcome. And I hope that all of you enjoyed the show. I want to say thank you to the owners, the owner of Alice. I can't say his name, unfortunately, but he knows I love him. I'm his friend. We just friended each other on Facebook, and I promoted his restaurant on my Facebook page because when you come to Israel, when you come here to spend your money, which I encourage, I want you to come to Alice. and bring Jonathan for lunch. I think it'd be a, I think you'd enjoy conversation with him. Also, you folks, pray for me. Keep me in your thoughts and prayers. I'm looking for a place to live here come the 1st of June, and there's some specifics that I'm looking for. I want people to have that want to come to Israel to have the ability to stay in a place for free. I know there's someone out there that owns an apartment that they don't even use pretty much here in Jerusalem. And I want to give the soldiers a place to stay, to rest and relax and have food at no expense and a bed to sleep in and a hot shower. So this is what I'm hoping for. And I hope that you'll hope and pray for me the same thing. Thank you to David Moxley and David Smith with America's Web Radio for allowing us to share Insight for Israel. Love you guys. You're the best. You guys are the best. And I hope that through this that we're able to enhance your station and bring new sponsors on board. And if you own a business or if you're an individual, give to America's Web Radio. They tell the truth. They're patriot conservatives, and they're for the United States of America. Listen, God bless patriot conservatives in the United States of America that stand for principle and truth. God bless Israel and their fight for sovereignty and security. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. God bless, and have a great day.